Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
In my view from the blue this week, I'm going to point out some politically correct nonsense that's taking place. Well, first of all, let's talk about what's going on in law enforcement and the number of attacks and deaths of law enforcement officers. Just this month, in the month of February, we've lost 9 police officers so far. The month isn't even half over. 9 police officers. Many of these shootings have been multiple officers being shot at the same time. Same incident, and more than one police officer are being shot, being killed, being disabled. And what is the response from law enforcement leadership? Well, I have to say that this is an indication that there are training issues that need to be addressed, that officer survival training needs to be sharpened. And when it comes down to tactics, these tactics need to be adjusted, because we are coming up with more and more multiple officer down. So this has to be adjusted from training. But that's not what's taking place. These agencies and police leaders aren't taking this seriously. Instead, what they're doing is they're devoting resources to... Well, let me just read... I got to read you a headline. I sit here and I just shake my head. This is just from about a week ago. That the NYPD, the largest police department in the country, is NYPD to start implicit bias training. Yeah, that's right. The entire force will take 8 hours of implicit bias training designed to help cops handle interactions with the public more effectively and fairly. The NYPD is devoting $4.5 million for politically correct police training. NYPD is the largest police department in the country, and they are willing to devote those kind of resources and take their officers off the street for 8 hours. I guarantee you that these resources will not save lives. It is officer survival training which will save lives, and yet that's not where they're devoting their training dollars to. And that's not what's making headlines. What's making headlines is politically correct nonsense like this. Now, not only that, but another headline screamed out at me, and that is, less like boot camp, Connecticut mulls cop training changes. Connecticut officials are being urged to consider removing the military mentality from police training in the state. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. Because they want their police. It says Connecticut officials are being asked to consider removing a military mentality from police training. Oh, a learning model aimed at improving public trust in law enforcement. Give me a freaking break. This is when academics and politicians start looking at the police training, all it's going to do is cost cops lives. Now they also mentioned how Washington State trains officers with the Guardian approach and says recruits can focus better on learning. Oh, good God in heaven. The reality is that police officers who don't have the warrior mentality are going to die. We have seen it over and over again. And this is the politically correct nonsense that began under Obama and is still being continued by the liberal left, who is now pushing their agendas on the police. And unfortunately, many of these police leaders are just sucking up to the politicians and going along with the program. There should be one major idea in the eyes of police leaders, and that is the safety of their cops. Yeah, I understand all the politics that go along with it, but when you get right down to it, if those officers don't come home safely, then what do you have? You have dead police officers, injured police officers, morale that is in the toilet, and people who are being unprotected. This needs to be addressed, not just at the level of police training, but at the political level as well. Resources need to be devoted to officer survival training and not politically correct nonsense. Now, why? Here's the other insanity that's going on is that, you know, while officers are giving their lives, attacks are rampant, armed attacks, there's another type of attack that's taking place, and that is the disrespect to the American law enforcement officer. Just this week alone, there were three incidents that made the national news. Two actually involved McDonald's, where McDonald's either A, refused to serve the police, or in one case in Normal, Illinois, a state trooper drove up to the drive-thru to get her lunch, and she was met with this. The McDonald's worker greeted her with this, and she said, quote, "I just have this to say to you. Fuck the police." Yeah, that's how this employee greeted the police officer, the state trooper. And the only thing I can say is that McDonald's did what they were supposed to do, and they fired the person immediately. So twice this happened this week in McDonald's. And then in Summerton, Alabama, a Dora police sergeant named Ronnie Phillips goes up, and they refuse to serve him. They just refuse. Turn their back on him. And once again, though, he reached out to Little Caesars, who promptly fired the employees involved. But what's going on? What is this not only lack of respect, but a lack of common sense, common courtesy, just treating people like human beings? They're treating cops like they're subhuman. And this lack of respect, this failure to even conceive that there might be consequences for their actions, it shows you how this society has degraded and how those who serve, who are literally putting their lives on the line, are being treated so shoddily. These are three sets of circumstances that happen. I also want to say this, that I also hear from police officers from around the country who send me messages, and they tell me that they've never had so many people come up to them and thank them for their service. I know just the other day, I happened to be in a restaurant off duty. Of course, I'm off duty. I'm retired. I'm always off duty. And I saw two police officers having lunch, and a stranger. I watched the stranger go up to the cashier and pay for their lunch. Just a stranger, never didn't know who they were, didn't want to be acknowledged for it, just showed their respect. So, you know, when you hear about incidents like this with the disrespect being shown to these officers, there's also the other side of the coin. And I don't want to lose sight of that, because I still maintain that the vast majority of Americans like and believe in their law enforcement officers, and are looking for a way to show that. I constantly get that question: how can we help? How can we show our law enforcement that we care about them? And I always say, listen, nothing does it better than going up to somebody and saying, you know what, I appreciate your service. Thank you so much. And more and more people are willing to do that. So that, my friends, is my view from the blue for this week. And we will take a walk into the interview room next. Anybody that has worn ballistic body armor knows that, first of all, it's uncomfortable. Secondly, it's hot as hell. And depending on the climate, you know, these things can get a little bit rank. Well, you know, I know that as a cop, I was constantly struggling with this, especially in Vegas, where it's so damn hot that you sweat within this thing, and one of the difficult things is keeping it fresh. Well, there is now an amazing product that eliminates the odor from your vest in 4 seconds or less, Yeah, I know, it's fantastic. And it doesn't only work on vests, it works on anything. Diaper pails, so it's not just for cops, it's for household use as well. It's an odor eliminator and doesn't have any harmful chemicals. It was made by very famous deodorant company, whose name I will not mention, but this thing is amazing. And if they got a great website name, it's stinkyvest.com. Yeah, you heard me right, stinkyvest.com. Go check this out. It's good for, like I said, all odors, pet odors, but it's made specifically for the vest, but it's good for everything all around the house. So check it out at stinkyvest.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
With me today in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is a former crime reporter, public relations expert for law enforcement, and a journalist for a number of very well-respected journals, including the LA Times and the Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. Robert Perry is my guest today. Thanks for being on the show, Robert.
Thanks for having me, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know,
excellent.
I've been following some of your articles, and the one that came out recently referenced the law enforcement officers who have shot and killed individuals, and the certain newspapers sort of, shall we say, a methodology in trying to paint law enforcement as racist murderers. That article that you wrote was I thought very, very well written and to the point.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, this article that just recently ran on ricochet.com, it's a follow-up basically to an article I wrote same time last year. And the headline of that article really, really gets down to the whole point of the matter. And the headline of the article was, "The Washington Post lies, damn lies, and omitted statistics." And that's really what it comes down to, is that by shaping statistics and picking and choosing and not discussing context, the Post and the general media like to create these misperceptions of things. What I talked about in this article was, you know, the Washington Post for the last 3 years has had this database of fatal OISs. Now, this flowed out of Ferguson and that whole disaster. And the Washington Post was very upset to discover that the FBI's tracking of OISs was ineffective. It had big gaps. Now, the FBI is not in charge of all the law enforcement agencies in the country. The FBI has no authority or responsibility to demand information from law enforcement agencies. But to the extent that, you know, having a complete database informs the national conversation, the Washington Post is doing a service if they do it responsibly, which they don't want to because they don't. And every year, the Washington Post, at the end of the year, writes up this summary of the data from the database. And every year, they include the statistic of how many of the decedents were Black males and what the population of Black males in the country is. And they never, ever, ever use the contextual data out of the FBI LEOCA database, which we know is very detailed because those aren't just statistics. Those are investigations that are very detailed. And that shows that, unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, on average, 40% of cop killers are Black males in this country every year. In 2016, it was 25%. I think 2013, it was 50%. And that's the context of the statistic of how many Black males cops kill. We don't want police officers killing people based on their population in society. We want people, the cops, to use force based on the threat environment and this the facts of a given encounter. And the Washington Post just doesn't want to have that conversation.
And, of course, this all did start with the great lie of Ferguson, and then, you know, the media just basically going on a rampage against the law enforcement community, trying to push out the narrative.
Yeah, you know, there's a very interesting thread to weave there. There's a reporter for the Post named Wesley Lowery, who, you know, he's a talented guy, but he just doesn't want to tell the whole story. And, you know, he was one of the reporters that was arrested at the outset of the first set of Ferguson riots. And he was one that had a hand in, although I can't say he originated, he had a hand in the continuation of the hands up, don't shoot lie. And he was one of the ones that started getting this database together for the Washington Post. And you know, the database isn't in and of itself a bad thing. There's no bad thing about the people of the United States knowing how our law enforcement is operating. And, you know, if somebody in Miami or Seattle or Virginia or Texas wants to look at the database and see, you know, kind of how their department stacks up, that's not a bad thing. You know, it informs the national conversation. And I think that, you know, people have a right to say, well, you know, my town of 100,000 people has had 6 fatal OISs in the last 2 years, but there isn't another town of that population that has that level. And maybe I, as a responsible citizen in my hometown, need to pressure my elected leaders to look at our law enforcement agency and make sure they're operating on the straight and narrow, because we know agencies go off the rails. We know that agencies have problems sometimes, and it's a local issue, and people need to have tools to deal with it locally. The Post agenda, of course, is federalization of law enforcement and federal regulation and management of law enforcement and taking away local authority. That's the reason they do this.
Yeah, and the this seems that their methodology in pushing out these statistics is basically tainted. I mean, they have an agenda, and
oh yeah,
it's not about putting facts out.
No, I mean some of the information in the database is definitely very skewed. You know, they've reported, you know, people that have been shot after running over cops were unarmed, and, you know, bogus things like that. And frankly, while I certainly quibble about those things, and I think that they have responsibility to do a better job, you know, on average, in the main, it provides valuable information, and those of us who look at these things can quibble about them in a little more detail. It would be nice if they informed the general public with more specificity and accuracy, but I'll take what I can get from them. Where they really start getting into the just blatant dishonesty is these numbers that don't reflect things. There's a guy out there by the name of Nick Selby. Nick is a part-time police officer in Texas. He's also a computer security expert. And he's an author, and Nick's kind of a unique guy. And he wrote a book called In Context, and I highly recommend that folks look up In Context, because he breaks down really what these statistics mean and the kinds of incidents that are resulting in these shootings. You know, it's a country of 350 million people and almost as many guns, and dangerous things are going to happen. And you know, while we certainly don't want cops just, you know, shooting people because they couldn't see a hand in a car and that was the only reason, we also don't want cops waiting to see a gun and, you know, letting the suspect have the first shot. And, you know, we all know that that's a non-starter from the police officer perspective. What Nick's book does is present the real context of these incidents, and it challenges people to think about them not just as black male, armed or unarmed. Think about them as, what was he doing? What were the circumstances? Was it a robbery in progress call, or was it a suspicious person call? All these factors that can go into the officer's mindset.
You know, and one of the statistics that something about the statistical analysis, quote unquote, that they have done, I found very interesting.
Or lack thereof, yes.
Yeah, exactly. but that is the fact that in the last 3 years, almost the identical number of shootings have taken place by law enforcement. I mean, we're only talking about a difference factor of, I think, 7 or 8.
Between 2015 and 2017, I think 2015 was 997, 2016 was 963, and this past year was 987, I think it was. So, I mean, the numbers are really within 3% of each other in any given year, which should give the citizens confidence. You know, we're not talking about wild variations. And body cameras are a very important part of this conversation, because as body cameras have spread and become more accepted and have captured more and more and more of these fatal encounters, the number of encounters hasn't gone down. And what that tells us is that police officers are not really behaving, at least as far as use of lethal force goes, much differently with cameras being more prevalent than they were before. And right. That's an important thing, which the Post will never talk about, and they will never point out that people should have confidence, because they're in the business of undermining confidence.
Exactly. And, you know, if you consider, think of the, as you said, the population of this country is about 350 million people. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement officers make up a tiny percentage of that population, somewhere around 800 to 900,000, depending on which source you're listening to, of state, local, and federal law enforcement.
You count prisons too. Yeah.
Right. And so it's a relatively small number that's out there. Now think of all the mm-hmm. interactions that take place. 24 cops are out there 24/7. There's 18,000 different police agencies approximately, and millions of contacts, both in pedestrian stops, car stops, interactions on calls for service, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And out of all of that, there's less than 1,000 fatal shootings by police, and almost no true abuses of that authority.
No, I mean, there is no shooting. Well, I can't think of a police caused death where there was no incident going on. There wasn't some sort of tactical situation. Now, we can quibble about the judgment an officer used and whether that decision was reasonable or not. But there is basically no instance that I can think of where you have an officer just cold-blooded murdering someone with absolutely no justification whatsoever. And that is a really important thing. I mean, the definition of murder is a pretty important thing. And if we're going to have an honest national conversation about what the standards for use of lethal force should be, and, you know, I happen to think that the citizens of a democracy have a vested interest in deciding what the standards for use of lethal force by their government is going to be, then it needs to be an honest conversation.
Yeah, I exactly. Now, there's actually, there was a headline today, yesterday, that generated out of Las Vegas that was rather shocking to me. And that is that a former member of the Las Vegas Police Department, a man who I was acquainted with, and this individual had been fired and arrested by our department way back in 97-ish, when he was found to be shaking down prostitutes, letting them go for sex acts. And this guy, mm-hmm. this guy was a piece of piece of human garbage, basically. And eventually, you know, he sullied his badge enough times that, you know, that they arrested him, and eventually went to prison for a couple of years. But it was just revealed yesterday that while he was working as a police officer, he did commit a murder, and it was just discovered through his DNA that this murder occurred in 1997 while he was an on-duty police officer.
But it wasn't an OIS.
It was not an OIS. It was he.
It was just a straight murder.
Correct, and he dumped her body. So
these things
occur.
Sure, and actually, I should correct what I said about no OISs having been just plain cold-blooded murder. It crossed my mind a moment after I said that in Riverside County, California, there was one. The former deputy was just arrested like about a month ago, when it was discovered that he had covered up the murder of his girlfriend's husband as an OIS, and it only came out in the civil trial couple years later.
That's interesting.
But that is an extremely rare occurrence.
Sure.
And when it was discovered, it was dealt with appropriately. You know, so the concept that our police officers are out of control and randomly shooting people and you know, shooting people just because of their race or because they put up some sort of a fist fight and they, you know, the officer vastly accelerates their level of force is just absolute poppycock, and it's damaging. This leftist narrative about our police officers is just very, very corrosive to our communities, because in the most high crime areas, the poorest places where people need to trust the police the most, this BS about, you know, hands up, don't shoot, and police murder and all of this stuff really erodes those relationships, and it erodes them in the most important places. You know, the folks who most need to rely on law enforcement, moms and dads of kids that are dancing around the edges of drugs and gangs, you know, siblings of hardcore gang members who are trying to stay out of the lives themselves. Those are the ones that need to trust cops the most. And they're the ones whose trust is most eroded by these lies.
Exactly. And you know, one of the factors that we don't really, that doesn't get into the public much, is that many people in the inner city community, the majority, do trust the police and are asking for law enforcement's help in dealing with the criminal element. But politics has somehow come into this and is literally hampering law enforcement from doing their job where they need to be doing it because of a political situation that has arisen out of these lies. And so the community is asking for it, and yet they're not getting it because the politicians in power don't want to commit their law enforcement to doing proactive policing.
And one of the reasons they don't want to commit is because of these misrepresentations by the media. You know, something else I wanted to talk about, Randy, was, you know, the Washington Post wrote this article. Their leading criminal justice columnist is a guy by the name of Radley Balco. Balco wrote a book about 5 years ago now called The Rise of the Warrior Cop, and it was about the Department of Defense 1033 program and the rise of SWAT teams and all kinds of stuff. And as I read this book, it was, you know, it was the typical take a statistic, spin it as negatively as possible, take an anecdote, misrepresent it as broad brush as possible. But what I noticed in the book was there were no firsthand accounts of his observation of SWAT teams. And I went through the whole book, and I specifically looked for it, and there was no reference to what he saw dealing with a SWAT team, what he saw observing a SWAT team. And so I started harassing him on Twitter, asking him, using one of my business accounts, have you ever observed police work? Well, come to find out, he'd muted me. And so others started retweeting it. You know, have you ever observed police work? And he finally said, it's an irrelevant question. And no, I haven't. And really, who cares? So here's a guy who wrote a 400-page condemnation of SWAT teams without bothering to observe a SWAT team. It's mind-boggling. And he is the Washington Post criminal justice columnist. I wrote an article for Pajamas Media, pjmedia.com. You can look at it. I'll send it a link. You can put it on your website for your listeners. I said, you know, the Washington Post sports columnist who's never seen a football game. You know, they would never hire a guy to write about football who had never been to a football game. You know, I can see hiring a guy to write about football who's never played football. I can see hiring a guy to write about football who's never coached football. But you would never hire somebody to write about football who's never seen a freaking football game. So his response was, well, I don't cover law enforcement. I cover criminal justice.
Like, oh, yeah, like okay.
That's like saying, I don't cover football, I cover stadium sports. I mean, what the heck is that? I mean, it's just absolutely mind-boggling, and yet this is one of the most leading influential figures in the national conversation on law enforcement. It is beyond mind-boggling.
And yet, you'll never hear that periodical, newspaper, coming out and acknowledging any responsibility for hiring this guy and putting him out there into the public's eye so that his impressions will be put out there.
Exactly the opposite. I submitted my Pajamas Media article to them first so they could acknowledge that their criminal justice columnist doesn't have any idea what he's talking about, and they rejected the article. They would not run it.
I wish I could say I was shocked at that, but I'm not.
You know, no. And, but you know, they just do a horrible job hiding their bias.
You know, and here's the thing. You know, we're now facing the beginnings of a crisis in hiring and retaining adequate number of law enforcement officers that are suitable to the job. All of the major law enforcement agencies are reporting difficulties in drawing people into the testing process that are qualified. And so,
and they're talking about lowering standards.
And they are lowering standards. Now, what I find interesting is that in essence the left who were responsible for Black Lives Matter and the social justice warriors, unquote, have, in essence, well, they were successful in doing what they wanted to do, which was undermine law enforcement. And that success is continuing today.
Yeah. Well, you know, they'll always cite, you know, the LAPD Rampart scandal as a sign of police corruption. But what they'll never tell you, what they'll never acknowledge, is if you get down into the LAPD's report on what happened at Rampart, it was a very small number of officers involved. In fact, more officers successfully sued the department for being persecuted than were actually convicted.
Exactly.
But the small number of officers who were involved, and they were absolute trash, and it's a shame they didn't get longer prison terms. But they were all hired under changes in hiring policy that would not have allowed them to be hired a few years beforehand. They had gang ties. They came from troubled backgrounds. They had problems in the military. And all of those things were overlooked for, frankly, demographics.
Exactly.
Under what Rampart resulted in.
under the heading of diversity.
Right. And you know what? I'm all for, having cops that are, you know, representative of their community. But it's got to be representative of the character of the community first. We're a country that, you know, we just celebrated Martin Luther King, who was talked about the character of a man, not the color of a man. And it's the character that counts. And not, you know, not what his last name is or, you know, anything like that. It's just a terrible thing what's gone on. And folks, the likes of Radley Balco, who have led the charge without the first clue what they're talking about.
And unfortunately, you know, this was, if you look at the major scandals throughout modern history in policing, they almost all are rooted in an alteration of the hiring policies. If you look at what happened in Miami the mayor ordered standards to be, quote, relaxed, unquote, and resulted in one of the biggest corruption scandals in their history. Same thing with L.A., same thing in many other areas of the country. So it doesn't seem like we are learning from history, which scares me even more. In fact, under Obama, his Department of Justice, one of their guidelines was to relax the standards and to hire people based on only diversity. And a lot of these chiefs bought into it.
It's really remarkable the kinds of things that you'll hear from a big city police chief. San Francisco is absolutely the worst, where you have a police chief and a district attorney who are vouching for the reforms that we've had out here, reforms, quote unquote, you know, Prop 47, Prop 57, which have undoubtedly put violent criminals on the street, and they knew this was going to happen, and they still endorsed it.
Well, when we talk about California, I think that is an entire discussion in and of itself when we talk about the insanity of California and their law enforcement leadership.
Well, I frankly just can't wait to escape. I think I'm just going to have you look out for a red star cluster, and if you see me, you can meet me at state line and drag me across the border to safety or something like that.
Every day I pick up the newspaper and I look at today's newspaper, a high government official telling law enforcement that they better not cooperate with ICE and threatening to prosecute them.
Oh, yeah, no worse. I mean, here in California, the Attorney General, Javier Becerra, said that any business that cooperates with ICE will be prosecuted under state law. It's like, what? You're going to prosecute under state law for cooperating with federal officials? That is mind-boggling.
It is absolutely mind-boggling. That is,
and
the word.
it's forcing people to lie to federal investigators, which is a crime. I saw someone on Twitter call it California fires on Fort Sumter. I mean, it's like that level of dissonance in the civic discourse. I mean, it is that big of a problem. And we just don't want to be honest about these things.
And of course, you know, this puts law enforcement officers clearly smack dab in the middle, which is not place that they want to be. On one hand, they're trying to do their job. On the other hand, if they do their job, they're facing the wrath of a government gone insane on political correctness.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what we have here.
And I don't see it. I got to tell you, Robert, I don't see it getting better. I just see it getting worse.
I will say that it's really interesting. I don't know if you followed the situation in Philadelphia with their new DA Krasner.
Oh, yes.
Who on his second day in office fired homicide prosecutors who were mid-trial. I mean, that kind of thing I mean, you know, I put out on Twitter, if anyone wants to follow me, it's at RCJ Parry, Parry with an A. If you, you know, that decision is going to result in the deaths of people. And the people that are going to die because of this Krasner guy, I hate to say it, but the statistics are they will most likely be black males between the ages of 16 and 28.
Right.
That is the reality. That is the reality. You know, and for the sake of, you know, prosecuting maybe one or two every few years questionable, not unreasonable, just questionable shootings, which almost always results in acquittal, for the sake of that, we are going to damp down police officers, reduce prosecutions, and get people killed who have done nothing wrong. Or frankly, even if they are gang members, we don't want them murdered. You know, that is not the way you save someone from a life of crime and gang membership, by getting them murdered. You know, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
But the voters voted him in. And the, you know, what are you going to say to you in relation to that? Because that is our system of election. If the people voted him in, knowing what and who he was, which was made very clear.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like this was a surprise or anything.
It just seems that the ignorance level or the uninformed voter is becoming dangerous for other people.
Well, but you know, you got to ask yourself, why are voters voting this way? Why are voters approving Prop 57 or Prop 47? Well, it's because of, you know, hands up, don't shoot, and the Rampart corruption scandal, and all of these things that are you know, cops are shooting black males vastly disproportionate to their population in society. Well, you stack up those misrepresentations and half truths and lies, and pretty soon the voters like, well, I got to do something about this. We can't let this situation stand. Something's got to change.
Right.
And this is the kind of change that we're getting. You got Chicago, you know, where Chicago had a big improvement in their murder rate. You know, they were down 150 from 2016. Never mind the fact that was 150 above 2015, 2014, 2013. Baltimore is just off the hook with homicides. They had the worst year ever for homicides last year, I believe it was.
Yeah, they just fired the police commissioner.
Commissioner yesterday. Oddly enough, after the first week without a homicide that they've had in like 2 years. You know, the voters are reacting to the message they are getting from the media, and this is the fact. And this is something that law enforcement has to take seriously, and this is what I do for a living. You know, the police officers do not operate in a vacuum. It is not the law and nothing else. Okay, it is not law and department policy and nothing else. The politics, the community relationships, the community perceptions, these are all absolutely critical to being successful as an agency and as an individual officer. You know, if you're a cop who only wants to go out and shake people down and write tickets and take people to jail, it's going to come back to bite you in the backside one of these days, because you're going to need one day that picture of you with a kid on your lap in your patrol car in a park. And you're going to need to know those old ladies that are shut in and don't have anyone to take care of them, okay? And those relationships are critical, not just to properly enforcing the law and finding the criminal element in society and getting rid of them. Are we still allowed to say that? Can we say we want to get rid of criminals?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But you're you're absolutely right. You're right on all the money here. And we're running out of time, though. So what I like, you've written for, you know, tons of publications. Where can my readers, my listeners, find your material?
Probably the biggest repository right now is ricochet.com. If you Google my name, Robert C.J. Parry, P-A-R-R-Y, a lot of stuff will come up. There's another guy out there named Robert Parry who is – he's precedes me, and he's older than me, and he's a very different guy than me. So make sure you use the middle initials when you look me up.
Robert C.J. Perry, just, okay.
Robert C.J. Perry. But if they just want to follow me on Twitter at R.C.J. Perry or email me, I'm happy to give out my email address, rcjperry@yahoo.com, and I'll be happy to engage with anyone. I really like working with individual officers and helping them, if they're in trouble, get out of trouble, or, you know, set them up for success so that they're prepared if they ever get into trouble. And also happy to work with any agencies to set up a proper community relations program. We have a unique model for community relations, or, you know, a PR program, or, you know, just getting to understand your community in a way that goes beyond the statistics and the facts and figures and the raw data, how you get down into the softer stuff and how you build a reputation for an agency or an individual officer the way a business would go about doing it.
That sounds great. So, Robert Perry, once again, thanks for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. Danger!
End of watch.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay our respects to the men and women of the profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice and given their lives in the line of duty. This month has been a terrible month for law enforcement, and unfortunately this week I have many more names to read. The first is Police Officer Chase Maddox of the Locust Grove, Georgia Police Department. Police Officer Chase Maddox was shot and killed while assisting two deputies from the Henry County Sheriff's Office serve a warrant at a home on St. Francis Court. The deputies had gone to the home to arrest the subject for failing to appear on a traffic violation. The man refused to cooperate, and the deputies requested assistance from the Locust Grove Police Department. Several minutes after Officer Maddox arrived at the scene, the officers attempted to take the man into custody. The subject opened fire on the officers, killing Officer Maddox, wounding both deputies before being shot and killed. Officer Maddox had served with the Locust Grove Police Department for 5 years. He is survived by his expectant wife and two sons. His second son was born 4 days after his death. Locust Grove Police Officer Chase Maddox. End of watch, February 9th, 2018. The second officer is K-9 Officer Eric Joring of the Westerville Division of Police in Ohio. Police Officer Eric Joring and Police Officer Anthony Morelli of the Westerville Division of Police were shot and killed when they responded to a 911 hang-up call in the 3000 block of Crosswind Drive. As officers arrived at the home, they made contact with the residents of the apartment and let inside. As they walked into the apartment, a 30-year-old male subject opened fire on them, mortally wounded Officer Joring and Officer Morelli. Despite their wounds, both officers were able to return fire and wounded the subject. Officer Morelli was transported to a local hospital where he died a short time later. Subject was charged with 2 counts of capital murder of a law enforcement officer. The second incident involved the murder of 2 police officers. Westerville Division of Police Officers Eric Joring and Officer Anthony Morelli. Police Officer Eric Joring and Anthony Morelli were shot and killed when they responded to a 911 hang-up call in the 3000 block of Crosswind Drive. As officers arrived at the home, they made contact with the residents of the apartment and let inside. As they walked into the apartment, a 30-year-old male subject opened fire on them, mortally wounding Officer Joring and Officer Morelli. Despite their wounds, both officers were able to return fire and wounded the subject. Officer Morelli was transported to a local hospital where he died a short time later. The subject was charged with 2 counts of capital murder of a law enforcement officer. Officer Joring had served with the Westerville Police Division for 17 years. He is a K-9 officer. He is survived by his wife, 4 daughters, and his canine partner, Sam. Arrangements have been made for Sam to remain with his widow and daughters. Officer Morelli survived by his wife and 2 children. Police officers Anthony Morelli and Eric Jordan, Westerville Division of Police, end of watch, February 10th, 2018. The next officer to die in the line of duty this week, police officer Darren Weathers of the Detroit Police Department in Michigan. Police officer Darren Weathers was killed in a vehicle crash on Michigan Avenue near Clark. He was participating in a surveillance training exercise when his vehicle collided with another before striking a utility pole. Officer Weathers was transported to Henry Ford Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries. Officer Weathers was a U.S. military veteran and had served with the Detroit Police Department for almost 2 years. He is survived by his wife and daughter. Detroit Police Officer Darren Weathers, end of watch, Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. And the fourth officer to die this week, Commander Paul Blauer of the Chicago Police Department in Illinois. Commander Paul Blauer was shot and killed while attempting to arrest a subject who had just run from other officers near the James R. Thompson Center, a state government office building. Other officers had attempted to conduct a subject stop on the man in connection with a shooting that had occurred several days earlier. The subject fled from the officers. Commander Blauer, who was in the area, observed the subject at the government building and attempted to stop him in a stairwell. The subject opened fire, killing Commander Blauer. The subject was taken into custody moments later. Commander Blauer served with the Chicago Police Department for 32 years. He is survived by his wife and daughter. Commander Paul Blauer, Chicago Police Department, end of watch, Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. May they rest in peace. One thing I know from being a police officer for as many years as I've been is that off-duty police officers spend a lot of their time working extra jobs. You know, the police salaries around the country, let's face it, they're not that great. And off-duty officers have to, in many cases, work extra jobs, security jobs, traffic jobs. So there is a company, believe it or not, the owner of this company was actually a guest on my show, Bonnie Lucas, and it's a company called Law Enforcement Specialists Incorporated. And they put off-duty officers to work in more than 40 states throughout this country. It's a phenomenal idea, and these people really know what they're doing. So if you're an active duty police officer and you're looking for extra jobs, now they do this in connection with your own police agency. So you're not violating any department rules, regulations. You're actually working in concert. They just find extra jobs for you, and then they work with your agency to get you those extra jobs. So it's a phenomenal idea. They've been doing this for years. And like I said, they're in most states in the union. I didn't even know they existed. But when I spoke to Bonnie, who owns this company, I was very, very impressed. So check them out at www.offdutypoliceofficers.com. That's www.offdutypoliceofficers.com. And you'll be able to find out whether you're in a state that they work in. They tout themselves as an exclusive nationwide security solution utilizing active duty law enforcement officers. Having trained, armed, and uniformed police officers present is an extremely effective way of deterring threats. And we all know that's true. So check them out. www.offdutypoliceofficers.com. It's a great way to make extra money, and it's completely within your department guidelines. And check them out. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. I enjoy having guests on. I hope that you enjoy it as well. You can follow me on Facebook if you go to Randy Sutton, public figure, and just like and follow. I do a lot of my posting every single day on that venue. And also, if you are a Twitterer, at LT Randy Sutton. That's at LT Randy Sutton. That's on Twitter. And I'm going to do a few more social medias as well. I'm also on LinkedIn. So if you want to hook up on LinkedIn, check me out there. So thanks again for listening in on this week's episode. And I'll see you again next week.